We're back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. When you ask someone what it means to be an American, you'll likely get as many different answers for every person you ask. And that is the premise behind WUWM's I'm an American series.
Because there is a renewed national dialogue going on about what makes someone American, the series explores the American identities of people of color from various religious and ethnic backgrounds who live in our community.
Today, WUWM's race and ethnicity reporter Taryn Powell speaks with Ami Vang of the Hmong American Women's Association about learning her family's history in this country.
It's interesting because I'm still learning a lot about this as part of my identity as an adult. But growing up, I had to go through the public school system learning about the Vietnam War with no mention of refugees and Hmong people. And so in the late 70s, we were part of, I want to say, the first wave of refugees that came to the United States because of our involvement with the Vietnam War. And so I've had to learn a lot of this part of American history is that was the reason why Hmong people were displaced and then also dispersed to other parts of the country. But my family was fortunate enough to come to the United States. And so we had, in the late 70s, a lot of church faith-based organizations that sponsored a lot of Hmong families that came. And so we came to Iowa in 1980. And so because we were placed in a refugee camp and that was where I was born, but my parents knew that that wasn't the life for them. And so in order to survive, they saw an opportunity and they came to the United States. And that piece of history is very relevant for a lot of people my generation. It's very common for people to share that piece, but they knew that we came to the United States to be able to thrive and survive. But a lot of that I had to learn much later as an adult because my parents never really talked about that sorrow and that trauma that they carried and wanted to survive and what that looked like for their kids.
So I understand that you were a baby when your family came to the U.S., days old, actually. Your family lived in Iowa for a couple years, and then you all moved to Wisconsin. Describe what it was like for you growing up.
I had to, you know, go through the public school system, learn English, and then, you know, being the oldest, I naturally just helped my parents interpret, go to their doctor's appointments, and then read their mail, and just learning to navigate what that American culture was. And so I've had to almost kind of unlearn everything that I've learned and to really know up our history through the voices of like my mom and my dad and my uncles and my aunties. And it was hard for me as a young person to identify like who I was because I didn't know what American meant. And then I also didn't know what Hmong meant other than I knew that I looked different. I spoke a different language. We ate different food. And there was a time where I really just wanted to be blended in and not be noticed. And here having my folks struggle and putting food on the table and making sure that we had everything that we had to be successful. And in their eyes, a lot of that was education.
Talk a little bit more about being a kid and having the responsibility of bridging that language barrier for your parents. Because I don't think people really consider the extent of that kind of pressure on a child. And not to say that your parents pressured you, but it is some sort of pressure on a kid.
Yeah, so I don't think my parents like actually asked me. I just gravitated to, because I spoke the language, because I learned it in schools, and my parents to this day, you know, when I go home, I still, you know, catch up on their mail, making sure that they're paying all their bills. And so I think naturally I like to do that, but I just felt that it was the right thing to do, and that's what I want to do with people is informing them of, you know, whether it's their rights or educating them so that they can make an informed decision. And so, yeah, I just naturally just made sure that they were comfortable and that they were aware of, you know, what the law was or, you know, what this piece of mail meant and making sure that the bills were paid on time and just teaching them how to spell correctly so that they could write checks. And a lot of that was helpful for me as an adult because a part of me was that I was forced to grow up. And I'm not, you know, that's not anything negative, but that's basically just an observation of my childhood was different than, you know, an average child who was maybe white and was born here, but my experiences are a little bit different, basically because we had to grow up in a different country and learn what the way was here in the States.
So how would you define your identity?
I identify as Hmong. I speak Hmong as well. And so that is a huge part of my identity. And that's what I do today. Is my professional career is the choice to give back to my community. And so that's who I am.
In our first encounter, I mentioned to you that I was not familiar with the Hmong culture. And I said I felt like that could be the case with many people. So in your experience, what are some of the misconceptions people have about Hmong people or the Hmong culture that you've come across?
Growing up in a very rural, white community, people couldn't tell if I was Chinese or Korean. You know, I think when you think of the Asian umbrella, there's so many other sub-ethnicities. And that's typical. But I think when Wisconsin, Minnesota, and California having large concentrations among people, more, I think more and more people or Wisconsinites are knowing a little bit more about Hmong people. And then also there's always the stigma or I think prejudices that we're here really to just kind of take free services. Mm-hmm. And I think that is very true of people of color communities and also people who identify as refugees or immigrants. And like when I look at my parents, they are some of the hardest people that I know. And they, to this day, my mom being in her early 60s, she works two jobs and all she's known is, you know, very blue collar factory related jobs. And she knows that these are jobs that she has to work hard so that she can continue to pay the bills and save a little bit of money. But I think that whole misconception of that, you know, certain groups of people are here really to take jobs away or that they don't work hard enough or that we're really here to bank on free services is just, it's just a very unfortunate, distorted view. Because, I mean, I can tell you that my parents and my family has worked really hard to be where we are. Sometimes people see me and they don't think that I'm maybe competent because, A, even in my Hmong community, I'm female. And so I may not have, you know, all of the knowledge or that I'm just a young, too independent of a female who may have too much of an opinion. Sometimes people assume that I'm a different race and so I may not understand. But I think, you know, those are just some of my general experiences of what I would view, that people may view as us as negative.
Have you ever tried to work against that to educate people?
I try. You know, I mean, if people want to learn about who I am as a person or the work that I do, or, you know, if I want to, or if they want to learn more about Hmong people, I try to give them resources. That's not my place to force them.
So how often does race and ethnicity come up in your daily life?
Being a person of color and also being female, I'm always very mindful of who I am. And so it comes up on a daily basis. It comes up in a lot of the work that we do, most specifically because we are a direct service organization. And what that means is we provide services to our clients who identify as Hmong, identify as Southeast Asian, that also speak our language. And so it's an everyday piece because that's who I am. That's an identity piece. And most currently, I can't say this without tying what is happening around the world and most specifically around the nation with our current administration. I don't know how... That's just my experience is that, you know, I have to worry about people that are undocumented because that's just a thing. We work with people, a lot of our communities that are still have refugee status, that are in this country several years, that are in transition of getting their citizenship. And so that's a very, very real theme that we work with and that we come across.
I want to go back to earlier in our conversation where you said that as a child, you didn't know what it meant to be American or what it meant to be Hmong. How do you feel now?
That is a really good question. It's up to the individual. I think that's the beautiful part, is that it's ultimately on the individual to determine who they are as a person and what their purpose is in life. And for me, I feel like my purpose is really to give back. And so the first step for me was identity. And who am I as a human being? And then also, who am I in terms of my community? I feel, as an adult today, I feel pretty good in who I am. And I think I'm less stuck on identifying a label. And it's more about what is it that I do as a person. And a lot of that is tied to the passion of social justice, advocacy, and just taking care of my people.
Ami Vang of the Hmong American Women's Association sharing her story of her American identity. WUWM's I'm an American series will be featured throughout the year.